Like to invite you to turn once again in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Some have asked if I was going back to the Sermon on the Mount, and we are. But we are taking a brief excursion from that text, as we did last week and today, and then again next Lord's Day, as we focus our attention on the theme of coming to Christ. Last time we considered the words of Jesus from John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. We focused on what it meant to come to Christ. I said by way of introduction to that passage in John 6 that Jesus taught emphatically. The thing that Jesus is emphasizing is that one cannot be a Christian. One cannot be saved from his sins unless he comes to Christ, which is not the same thing as coming even to the Scriptures or to the Bible, to church, to baptism. Christ alone. And last time we emphasized the necessity and the nature and the reasons for coming to Christ to be saved. Today, we're going to see that truth that we drew out last week, the theology of it, as it were. We're going to see that truth clearly illustrated for us in a wonderful gospel narrative found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, of one named Bartimaeus. Let's read the passage once again. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. We'll look at those words. Aren't those beautiful words? And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart. Get up. He's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. From this passage, we will first establish the context and the setting of this wonderful miracle, and then we will consider it under three heads. First, there is the awful condition of Bartimaeus. It's almost beyond our understanding and ability to describe. And then there is the pleading request of Bartimaeus. And then the results of Bartimaeus' request. So to set the context, we read that Jesus, along with his disciples, and note a great crowd of people are departing Jericho. It's the Passover season, and many of these people, the crowd, are following him, hoping to witness a miracle. I think we understand that that the fact that Jesus had come to save from sins, for the most part, is missed by the people. And it was only a day or two before Jesus called Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree. Do you children remember the story of Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a tree to see the Lord? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a dishonest man. He was a great sinner. And Jesus came to him. And Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Salvation today has come to your house." This is only a few days before that. And only a few days prior to his entering upon the last week of his life upon the earth. And we should note that in Mark 11, there is the account of his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which we know is just days before the cross. So that's the setting. And along the roadside, probably near the city gate of Jericho, a blind man named Bartimaeus sat begging. Not unusual, very common. Matter of fact, even to this day, I'm told, in this part of the world, you will see blind men sitting along the roadside at the entrance or exit of a city seeking alms. In fact, Matthew mentions two men were begging. It's not a discrepancy in the text. Mark simply identifies one as Bartimaeus. One writer commented, and I think this is wise, the fact that Mark mentions his name is not so much that he was well known as a blind beggar, but most likely because this Bartimaeus later was to become known as a faithful disciple of the Lord. I should also mention the place. Some find it contradictory. Luke, if you read his account, places the miracle occurring as Jesus drew near to Jericho. Jericho about 15 miles below Jerusalem. While Matthew and Mark inform us that it took place as Jesus was leaving this city. And the commentators all speak to this with several possible solutions. If you're interested in that sort of thing, I'd refer you to them. There's a number of possibilities. I agree with Hendrickson that none of those explanations really seem to satisfy or don't answer all objections. And Hendrickson said the best answer is there is indeed a solution for this scripture, quote unquote, this scripture too is inspired. There is a solution. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 is the inspired word of God. We don't have the solution in our own puny minds. But this is the word of God to us. It doesn't take away at all from the story or the account. And just think for a moment with me. Everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Healing the sick as he had compassion on the people. And as the crowds followed him, there was a noticeable ruckus, a stir. And that's not hard for us to understand. You can imagine as the people would gather around, who's this? Jesus is coming. And the people had heard. And there were a lot of people already there. I mentioned it was the Passover season, so people would have been out in the streets and preparing to go up to Jerusalem. And no doubt there was talking and even probably praising of his name. His popularity at this time was very high among the people. And we read here in our text that the noise attracted the attention of Bartimaeus. What's happening? What's going on? Who is coming? And when he discovered it was Jesus of Nazareth approaching, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, remember last week. John chapter 6, verse 37, "Whoever comes to me," says Jesus, "I will never cast out." And we said last time that coming to Christ was more than physical act. Many drew near to him physically and were not saved. Coming to Christ is spiritual, we said. We said coming to Christ is a movement from one place to another. It's a movement of soul to the Savior of sinners. Coming to Christ is to believe and trust Him alone to forgive you of your sins. The second thing we emphasized was the reason that people truly come to Jesus Christ. Do you remember? They come to Christ because they have heard of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They come to Christ because they feel their great need of Him. They're needy. They know they can't save themselves. Well, consider the awful condition of Bartimaeus, therefore his great need. He was poor. He was a beggar. And his poverty, I mentioned, I think it's in the sermon notes, it really defies description. In other words, I don't know that you and I can think, or that we can hardly imagine the lowly condition of this beggar. As one put it, his poverty lay not only in the fact that he was dressed in rags, but along with this deprivation, he bore the stigma of being a poor beggar. Along with his lowly condition, he was also despised as so much rubbish. He sat by the side of the road, hardly noticed, and if noticed, spurned by the passerby. It shouldn't have been that way amongst the people of God. The Lord God had commanded His people, even in Old Testament times, to care for the indigent, to never allow their brethren to come to this awful point. But Israel, when it forsook God, also neglected God's people, and in their self-centered life, they sought their own welfare, not that of others. How unique the Lord Jesus stands out. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who looked not upon the things of self, but others. Consequently, being forsaken of his own people, Bartimaeus was left, as it were, to scramble in the dust to find and to scurry about to find even a bite of something to eat. I'll mention in a moment. Remember, there's no safety net in these days. Moreover, he was blind. An awful thing, if you think about it. I suppose there may be more serious afflictions than being blind. I don't really even care to think about that. But who can deny how awful to be deprived of the invaluable sense of seeing? He was a stranger, as it were, to the many beautiful things of life and nature. The things that honestly we take for granted. He was incapable of enjoying the pleasant light of the sun or a beautiful sunset or its reflection in the moon. On a clear night, he was deprived of all the pleasures and benefits of reading. And think about that. He would have often been in a state of imminent danger and often unaware of the danger that was right at hand. And so there he sits. Poor and blind, Bartimaeus, limited, hemmed in, as it were, in a small place, confined in his deserted world, which is dark and dismal. He indeed was an object of a pity, and yet he received none. Dressed in dirty, stinky rags. His body was no doubt emaciated by hunger, but his ears always on the alert of the sound of passers-by by which he might cry out for alms to help in his suffering. What else could he do? What else could he do but beg in this day? That's the scene. It's the picture we must have in our mind's eye. Not very pleasant, is it? Hard to think about. Humanly speaking, hopeless. Often we turn away from such things. But the Holy Spirit says, look at this. Look at it. Because we see here the very kind of people Jesus came to save. In his day, there were so many poor and blind. Over and again, the prophet Isaiah speaks of Christ coming to help such people. Matter of fact, the prophet speaks of an indication. You'll know that the gospel has come, Messiah has come, when you see Messiah going out to these people, and the deaf and the blind and the lame are healed. And so we sang earlier, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. And we should observe, poor blind Bartimaeus, and this is the point, is a picture of all of us as we really are by nature in our unregenerate state. Spiritually poor, destitute of merit, blind. The Bible says, gone, dead in trespasses and sins. And I should interject at this point, and I hope you understand the spirit in which I say this. If you have trouble with that, if you have trouble with that idea of Bartimaeus being a picture of how you really are, it's an indication you have never come savingly to Jesus Christ. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not the righteous, but sinners, Jesus came to call. And we are by nature spiritually poor. Truth is, before God, we're clothed in the rags of our own corruption and sin. The prophet says the very best efforts, our very best attempts at righteousness are like so many filthy rags. By nature, we're in the world, but we're without God, without hope. Sin has separated us from God. Man was originally made in the very image of God, possessing all things necessary for life and eternity, and yet by sin all was lost. See, we have, as it were, impoverished ourselves of all of God's original gifts to us, including the garment of his righteousness. Man has lost God's image and is banished from his presence. The Bible is clear about the poverty of being separated from God. By nature, we grope about in the darkness of sin and death as spiritual paupers. That's how we are by nature. That's the picture that the Bible paints. And like Bartimaeus, this poverty doesn't even begin to describe our awful state by nature. By nature, we are also spiritually blind. Physically, our eyesight might be 20/20. Or maybe you're like me and you wear glasses and you've had it corrected. But by nature, in the spiritual sense, we're stone blind. The Bible says our understanding is darkened. The Bible says that our understanding is darkened and we're beyond the power of human energy or means to be restored. Octavius Winslow wrote concerning spiritual blindness as a consequence of the fall, has smitten the entire human race. Not that they are conscious of it. A spiritually blind man does not know his blindness. He imagines he sees, declares that he sees, and denounces you as ignorant if you affirm the contrary, and yet he is blind. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see, who imagine they see, might be made blind." be blinded to their own righteousness. And when this spiritual sight is restored, then comes the knowledge of former blindness. This one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. A consciousness of former blindness is an evidence of present sight. Here is one of the unmistakable marks of a man of God. He is one who sees. By nature, we're spiritually blind. And obviously from the text, Bartimaeus was well aware of his dreadful plight. Bartimaeus wasn't living in denial. No, he not only knew, but he felt his need. He knew that he was tattered, he knew that he was blind, and he knew that he was helpless. His cry is evidence. Does it sound familiar, this cry of Bartimaeus? Think of the sinner, the publican at the temple, as he cries out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let's consider his request of Christ. But notice two vital things took place first. Before Bartimaeus cries out, Christ passed that way. Truth is, his condition made it impossible that he should have sought the Savior. Christ passed by. And note, second, don't miss it, he was informed that it was Jesus who now approached. Just think how important that was for Bartimaeus. The friend of sinners might have passed on without his knowledge of that circumstance. But he heard. He heard the good news. And in a very similar way, Christ has passed by us. Christ has come near to us. Christ has become our kinsman, and he has sought us out, or we never would have come to him. And Jesus took the initiative, or we would never have received his salvation. The glory, Lord, from first to last is due to thee alone. Aught to ourselves we dare not take or rob thee of thy crown. We should stop for just a moment and consider how blessed we are today. This event of our dear Redeemer's visit of mercy is recorded for us in the Bible. It's God's word, and we can pick it up and we can read of it. It's made known to us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of sinners, is revealed to us in Scripture. We see his character. The Bible says that he's without sin, spotless. We see his love and compassion. We see his offices and his gracious work on the cross. He laid down his very life for undeserving sinners like us. It's all here. Placed simply and clearly before us. You children understand that. To what end? For what purpose is it so clearly revealed to us? Why is this story here? That you might come to the Savior and believe upon him. What a blessing. Turn to Romans chapter 10. A very familiar passage recorded often. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, counted as righteous. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of faith. It's not far off. It's not esoteric. It's right here. It's right here. Why not come to Jesus Christ and be saved? Why would you not do that? 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul quotes the words of the Lord from Isaiah. In a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Dear friends, Jesus is an able and willing Savior. He is passing by in the preaching of his gospel. And he says today, come to me. Paul adds, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, back to Bartimaeus, and note his request to Christ. It demonstrates a real coming to the Savior. Those things that we learned last week of what it means to come to Christ are clearly illustrated for us here. Remember, we said last time that coming to Christ begins with a humbled spirit. I can't help myself. And so Bartimaeus' plea was for mercy. Note his cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Not something he presumed upon, not something he demanded as his right, but he sought mercy. And that word mercy is important. It's not pity that he seeks. Pity doesn't help. You know, you can pity somebody. To show mercy means you got to have, you not only pity, but you got the power to help. And Bartimaeus is not wanting pity. He's looking for mercy. He's looking for help. He felt his misery. He knew his unworthiness and powerlessness, and therefore he sought mercy. I love that hymn we sing sometimes. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy. Mercy with the Lord. Honestly, I think often people don't come to Christ. People who may be set under the very preaching of the gospel from week to week do not come to Christ because they really think they can save themselves. When it comes right down to it, it's what they really think. Or I can make myself better. I can put myself in a more prepared position. Listen, the truth is, you need the mercy of God. And note in the third place, it was a plea of faith. It's a cry for mercy, a plea of faith. He addressed Christ as Savior. Where do you see that, Pastor? Jesus, he cries. What Jesus literally means? With Jehovah, there is salvation. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. You see, that's why he came. That's exactly the reason that Jesus visited Jericho before even going to Jerusalem. He went to Jericho in order to save Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. That's why Jesus went on to Jerusalem and the cross. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is one God and there is one mediator between God, between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The one who came to die on the cross, a ransom to pay the price for sinners. Bartimaeus cries in faith, Jesus. Jesus, Savior. And true faith reveres the Savior. And so we honored him as the long-awaited and anticipated Messiah. He He says, Jesus, Son of David. Hendrickson wrote, and I really appreciate this, when Bartimaeus refers to him as Son of David, it doesn't mean that he fully appreciated the spiritual character of Jesus' Messiahship, that he understood it all. That's not what it means. It does, however, indicate that he was among the few who were able to give a better answer to the question, who do the people say that the Son of Man is, than was given by the people in general. The Bible says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. And think of it, rulers and priests, they called him an imposter. The Pharisees denounced him as a sinner. They said his miracles were done by the power of Satan, and they turned the people against him. And yet this poor, blind, wretched man addressed him as Israel's long-expected deliverer, the Savior of the world. Again, I think it's important, brethren, to note, he may not have realized everything about Christ, but he personally believed that Christ had the power to restore his sight. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's a very important lesson there for us. It's not the strength, it's not even the quality of our faith that saves. It's the object that matters. Christ alone. What a clear and simple message of grace and mercy. Not that which would only cure his physical blindness, but the mercy that would forgive his sins, which he realized lay at the root of his physical condition. One commentator wrote, surely it cannot be denied that all of the affliction of this life is the gross result of man's departure from the living God. Blessed is the man who knows that by nature he is spiritually blind, a condition much worse than the plight of a man who has to walk with a white cane with a strip of red on it. Woe to the man who thinks he sees. There is no greater blindness than that. And note the passage. It implies an earnest, passionate, fervent, persevering plea. You see it there in verse 48? He cried out all the more. The King James Version puts it this way. He cried the more, a great deal. As one translation indicates, not only did he cry the more, but all the louder. Bartimaeus is not to be deterred. This is what it is to go out of yourself to Christ. And he continued until his cry was heard. As Hendrickson added, he realized that if help was going to come from any source, it would have to come from the Son of David. None but Jesus can do sinners good. How about you? How is it with you? In a similar way, have you cried out to Christ in your need, in faith, believing that He's a Savior of sinners? I'm a sinner. Jesus, have mercy on me. And note the outcome of his plea to Christ. There was resistance from the people. They tried to quiet him. See it there in verse 48. It says, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Jesus, he cries. You're coming by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around said, shut up, please. You're making a scene. They rebuked him. Think how cruel. These people were following Jesus. Bartimaeus is hemmed in this dark, desperate world. They're following Christ, but with little knowledge of who he really was. And so they told the beggar, be quiet. Don't disturb the teacher. And the truth is, sinners really coming to Jesus often will find such rebukes. Often, Satan and the world and even friends and sometimes people of religion, even your own conscience might say to you under conviction of recognizing your need, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, and Christ is a Savior. He's a willing Savior. He says, come, I want to come. And your conscience says, now, wait a minute. Don't get all carried away. What is it going to cost to come to Christ? That rich young ruler, remember him we read earlier in Mark? He comes to Jesus, he throws himself at his feet. Master, what must I do to be saved? Thank goodness that he didn't come to some modern day evangelist. He said, well, why don't you, here, say this prayer after me. You're in. Well, Jesus dealt with him. Believe in Christ, it's going to cost you. He went away disheartened. Bartimaeus is not going to be deterred. See, when one really understands his need, as this man did, he won't be shut up. He won't be silenced easily. He will allow no obstacle to stand in his way to the Savior. Any of you that have been Christians for a long, maybe you remember in your own coming to Christ, as you think back, or maybe many of you have observed over the years of those people who genuinely have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Nothing would have prevented them from coming to Christ. They were made willing in the day of His power. Apostle Paul, what a picture. Lord, who are you? If you have come to Christ to be saved, then you know that's the truth. And you know what? You keep coming to Him. Undeterred, not distracted. Your testimony and your prayer still is, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's why as Christians we sing, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That was Bartimaeus. That's what it is to come to Christ. And then there's the result of his plea for mercy. It's there in verse 49. I've already mentioned what in the reading. What wonderful words. And Jesus stopped. Isn't that beautiful? And we shouldn't be surprised. True prayer got his attention. The compassion of the Savior, the cry of misery for mercy fastened him, as it were, to the spot. I think of the woman with an issue of blood. Jesus is being rushed along and the crowd is around him. And this poor woman in great need reaches up and can only touch the hem of his garment, and Jesus stops. Who touched me? Well, just like with Bartimaeus, he's going to ask Bartimaeus a question in a minute. Jesus wanted to elicit from her a confession of her faith. He knew who touched him. And the disciples said, why are you stopping? We're too busy for this. Come on. Oh, the compassion, the love of Christ. Jesus stopped. And Jesus spoke. Call him. He doesn't speak to Bartimaeus right away. Bartimaeus cries. Jesus stops and he speaks to those around him. Call him. And we read, they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up. He's calling you. Remember, Jesus is nearing the end of his life on earth. He's in fact on his way to Jerusalem and the cross. That's where he's heading. And on that way, he must do the work given unto him by the Father. He's come to save, to seek and to save those who are lost. Not one helpless repenting sinner will be passed by. Not even blind Bartimaeus. Not Zacchaeus up in the tree. Not one will be lost. Do you remember from last time Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me? What wonderful truth. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Again, I ask, in your need, have you ever come to Christ with your sin? As I mentioned earlier, not after you've tried to fix yourself up, you know, prepare yourself as it were, but have you come out of yourself to Jesus Christ without one plea but that his blood was shed for you? See, not everyone who hears Christ's call responds. But those called graciously and powerfully do. And I love what it says there in Mark's gospel. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Call him. The people say, take heart. He's calling you. Bartimaeus springs up and throws off his cloak. What wonderful joy and excitement of coming to the Savior. We almost miss this. It is interesting to note that neither Matthew or Luke mention this little detail in their account. Mark, remember, is hearing the account from who? Peter. Matter of fact, we could say the gospel according to Peter. Mark is simply the penman. Peter is giving him all the eyewitness details, and Mark is writing it down. You would expect Peter to say something like that. Hendrickson adds, we can almost hear lively Peter tell it with all the fiery, picturesque eloquence at his command. He must have told it in such a way that Mark was unable to forget it. And we see Bartimaeus, without a moment's hesitation, throwing off his robe so as not to be tripped up, not to be slowed down, leaving all of those things behind, and he rushes to Jesus. Think of that hymn by Wesley, my chains fell off, my heart was free. So it is with Bartimaeus. That's how it is. That's how it is when you come to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Do you know something of chains falling off and your heart being free? Do you know something of the joy of hearing the good news of the gospel? And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? As if Jesus didn't know. We know that's not the case. Jesus is aware. He knows all about us, but Jesus desires to give him an opportunity of bringing his request, of expressing his faith. This is always the way Jesus saves. And so Bartimaeus says in verse 51, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus granted his soul's desire. Verse 52 says, immediately he recovered his sight. Well, what more can we say? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What a wonderful meeting. Think of Jesus' words again. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Him that comes to me, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. There's the theology and the doctrine and the teaching. Here it is, lived out for us. What an encouragement to come to Christ. Here is the word of the Lord to each one of us this very day. It's from Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And Jesus recognized his faith. Note Jesus says to Bartimaeus, go your way, your faith has made you well. Or saved you, as the marginal reading. Faith is honored by Christ. And when Jesus says your faith has saved you, Jesus is not saying that there is some inherent power or meritorious influence in that faith as if it were his work, as if Bartimaeus had worked this up of his own. No, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is God's gift. Faith simply brings the ailment to the right physician. And it lays hold of the Savior. You see the dramatic change of coming to Christ for Bartimaeus. Our passage says he followed Christ. Well, why did he follow Christ? In order to be saved? No, he was already saved. He was a different man. So as testimony to mercy, as a witness for the truth, grateful for the blessing received, he followed Jesus. There's so much we might say about that. I just mention it to leave it to the Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts. The truth is, Christ expects all of his disciples. Christ expects all of those who have come to him to be saved from their sins to follow him, to let their light shine. In fact, Luke adds, it's not in Mark's gospel exactly, but Luke adds, he glorified God. He followed Jesus and he glorified God. Now, what does that mean to glorify God? Well, let's be real simple. So even you youngest of children can understand. What is the chief in demand? To glorify God, enjoy Him forever. What does it mean to glorify God? It means not to live for yourself. That's what it means. It means to live for God. His priorities, they all shifted. He was a different man. He would now be found acknowledging God in all of his ways. That's what it is to glorify God. Lean not upon your own understanding, but trust in the Lord, acknowledging Him in all of your ways. And he did it with praise and with dedicated service. That's what it is to glorify God. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful illustration. I was going to say a picture, but it's not a picture, is it? It's an actual event. But it so clearly illustrates for us of the words we heard last week. Whoever comes to me, says Jesus, I will never cast out. All you need is to feel your need of Him, to recognize you can't save yourself. Come to Christ. Don't come to the church. Come to the pastor. Don't come to your parents. Don't come to baptism. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. And ask yourself, maybe you've been professing to be a Christian for a long time. It's always important to ask, have I really come to Christ? And are you still coming to Christ? Jesus is the only Savior of poor, wretched, helpless sinners. That's what we are. I hope that doesn't trouble you. I hope that's a word of encouragement to you. Buried in sorrow and in sin at hell's dark door we lay, but now we rise by grace divine to see a heavenly day. Oh, may God help us. May that be so by the grace of God. For all of us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that has been preserved for us in this wonderful narrative of this account of Bartimaeus. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, that we may see ourselves, Father, in this. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, help those who are here today that do not know the Lord Jesus, are still troubled in their sin and restless and discontent in the world without hope. Father, even our children, we pray for them. We pray, Father, that you may speak to them and cause them to come to Jesus Christ, to be saved and forgiven of all of their sins. And Father, we thank you for the truth that those who indeed come to you will never be turned away, never rejected. Help us, Father, to keep coming. Even, Father, this afternoon, as we prepare our hearts, Father, help us to come to the Lord's table, not simply in an automatic way, just to observe an ordinance, but, Father, help us, Father, to come and to eat and to drink in faith, looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation. And we'll praise you and thank you in his name. Amen.